There's music in the air. I mean the blood is nigh, and faint its flush is seen on the bright and laughing sky.
Down our way, little town where a group of friendly folks gather each week to practice their old-fashioned singing. They have some mighty pleasant times, and there's nothing they'd like better than for you to join them this evening. Like in any small town, it doesn't take much to stir up a good bit of excitement. At the moment, the leader of the singing group, Eli Jenkins, has locked up his grocery store and gone upstairs to his parlor. He called a special early meeting of the group, and they're all curious as to what it's all about. Alice Wilson is the first to hurry in.
I didn't do my duty as teacher this afternoon. There's a boy who should have been kept after school, but I excused his bad behavior so I could get over to this meeting, Mr. Jenkins.
Then there's Ben Potts, who not only sings bass with the group, but also runs the local feed store.
I probably miss selling 30 pounds of feed by closing my store early. What in blazes is this all about, Eli?
Cliff Tyler, the tenor they're all so proud of, says,
I got a boy to stay at my gas station so that I could get over here. Gee, you sure sound excited over the phone, Mr. Jenkins. What's happened?
So, after having kept them all in suspense, Eli finally rises out of his rocking chair and speaks.
And I rightly ought to wait until Patience arrives before I start telling you the news.
Oh, Pa, there ain't no need. She doesn't even sing with the group.
Well, and if everybody else is here...
Oh, don't act so darned important.
I'm dying to know what this is.
Now, folks, I told you I'd have a surprise, and believe you me, I got a humdinger.
Get to the point.
I'm telling this, Ben Potts.
Go ahead, Mr. Jenkins.
It's just this. How would you all like to be on the radio?
You mean football?
Just let me explain. You all know about that famous program, Professor Talent.
Oh, that amateur hour, you mean?
Yeah, that's the one. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I heard he was going to tour the country, so I writ him a letter about our group and sent him one of them little home phonograph records we made, and now he's invited us to appear on the broadcast originating in Shelby Junction.
Why, that's tonight.
Of course it is. That's why I was in such a hurry to get you all together. Professor Talent writ me a letter from New York, but somehow it got mislaid in the mails, and I didn't get it until today.
Are you inferring that I'm responsible for your letter being delayed?
Well, you're the postmaster, ain't you? Or are you so busy with your feed store that you forget all about the U.S. mails?
No, if that ain't the most insulting thing...
Well, let's not sit here arguing about it. There's still time to get over to the broadcast, and I think it's mighty nice that we got the invitation.
I think it's wonderful. Well, we'll be heard from coast to coast.
Yeah, that's just it. We'll be heard everywhere. And here we ain't even practiced for a week.
Well, we don't have to leave for a while. Alice, you get over the piano, and we can just run over a chorus or something to limber us up.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, give us a chord now, Alice. Do good, folks.
In the canyon, excavating for a mine, went a miner, 49er, and his daughter, Clementine. Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling, Clementine. You are lost and gone forever, breathless, sorry, Clementine. Like she was and like a fairy, and we're sure for number nine. Herring boxes without topses, sandals were for Clementine. Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling, Clementine. You are lost and gone forever, breathless, sorry, Clementine. Drove she ducklings to the water, every morning just at nine. Winter, fell into a foaming brine. Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling, Clementine. You are lost and gone forever, dreadful, sorry, Clementine. Then the miner, 49er, soon began to peep and pine. Thought he ought to join his daughter, now he's with his Clementine. Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling, Clementine. You are lost and gone forever, dreadful, sorry, Clementine.
It's a pretty big honor that's come to the folks down our way to be invited to appear on a famous radio program. Eli Jenkins is trying to fulfill his duties as leader of the group, and has given them last-minute instructions as they approach the Shelby Junction radio station.
Now, remember what I say. Just leave everything to me. If any talking needs to be done, I'll do it.
You'll do it whether it's needed or not.
Ain't that the truth? I can't imagine Eli keeping still.
Yeah, you're one to talk, Patience P-Boy. You've got a mouth that's the nearest thing on this here earth to perpetual motion. I don't know why I ever promised to let you recite some of your poetry on this program.
It ain't your program, and Professor Talent wants me to read one of my poems.
Yeah, needless to say, he ain't never heard none of them.
Here's the entrance, Pa.
Yeah. Now, remember, Cliff and Alice and all of you, now, just leave everything to me.
Okay, Mr. Jenkins.
Hey, out of the way, young fella. Let us in quick.
I beg your pardon, but I am Professor Talent's special usher. It's my duty to collect tickets before any person passes into the studio.
Now, don't be getting flip with Eli Jenkins, youngster. I'm the sheriff down our way.
If you are here in your official capacity, I demand to see your warrant. I know my criminal code. You can't enter without a search warrant.
Why, of all... If that ain't... Now, look. There ain't no need to get nasty about this. We just want in, so move aside.
If you can produce tickets of admittance, I shall gladly escort you to seats.
But I ain't got no tickets.
Then I regret that I must bar you from entering this broadcast studio.
Tarnation, thunderation. You can't keep me out.
Oh, I can't? I can handle an old man like you without even removing my glasses.
Eli, maybe...
You stay out of this, Jenny. I'm handling it.
Well, you ain't getting fur.
The broadcast will start in less than a minute.
Yeah, and we aren't close enough to the microphone out here.
Microphone, did you say?
Sure, we're on the program tonight.
Well, why didn't you say so?
Well, that's what I wanted you to tell him, Eli.
Now, I had my way of handling this.
Yes, and as usual, your way weren't the right way.
Follow me, and I'll take you right up on the stage. You're awfully late in arriving.
Yeah, we wouldn't have been so late if we hadn't stood out here and argued with you.
They're just going on here. Once again, we present Professor Talent, the man who's continually searching for amateurs with genuine ability.
Well, he sure found it this time.
Here, you may sit in these chairs. Professor, these are the people you've been looking for.
Oh, so you finally arrived, Mr. Jenkins. You certainly had me worried. I hope you're well prepared.
Yeah, don't you worry none about us, Professor. We can sing for the rest of the night if you want us to.
Well, that won't be necessary. Just a couple of numbers.
And it's with the greatest of pleasure that I introduce to you Professor Talent.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We have traveled many miles so that tonight's broadcast might originate from Shelby Junction. For you see, it is not in the big cities alone that we find talent. In this little town, 60 miles from the state capital, I have discovered a group that I feel all of you in the listening audience will truly enjoy.
Eli, I thought you said that Chris was invited to appear on the broadcast,
yeah, he
too.
He was, Jenny, but there wasn't room for him in the car for him to ride with us, so he said he'd meet us here.
Who are you talking about? Chris who?
Chris Jorgensen, the handyman who lives down in our back room.
You mean he's going to come up here and play that awful accordion of his?
He plays it right well, Cliff. The only trouble is that one of the keys is busted, and he promised to have it fixed for tonight.
But he's been promising to fix it for 6 years.
Oh, but surely he wouldn't come tonight unless he's fixed it. Do you think he would, Eli?
Oh, of course not. I don't think so, anyway.
Eli, he's motioning to you.
Mr.
Why
Eli
not there to the microphone?
Step right up here, Mr. Jenkins. Step right up here.
Do I have to alone? I thought the group was going to appear.
This microphone never bites guest. You're perfectly safe in coming close to it.
Oh, I ain't afraid or nothing like that. I ain't been temporary chairman pro tem of the Crowell County Horseshoe Pigeons League for nothing.
I beg your pardon?
I'm used to these public appearances.
Oh, that's fine. Now, if you'll just stop trembling and please don't hang on to the microphone for support. Oh, we'll get on. What's the first selection of your group has chosen for this evening?
Yeah, well, I tell you, we tried to pick out one of those old songs that folks like you and me love, and one that's old enough to be new to the young folks. We'll just start singing and see how well you remember it. Get over there. Now, you got your books, everybody?
Yes, we have, Mr. Jenkins.
It's the Down Our Way Singing Group in one of their own inimitable renditions.
All right.
What kind of rendition did he call it?
Oh, impenetrable or something.
It don't sound very polite to me.
Now, don't be nervous, folks. Just watch me and we'll be all right. All right.
Oh, give me a home where the dove will roam, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy. Oh, my home. discouraging wind, and the skies are not cloudy.
Guess they liked it, Ma.
Thank you, folks, thank you. Now our announcer has a few words he'd like to bring you on behalf of our sponsor.
Thank you, Professor.
This is sure quite a program, all right. But where are the other contestants who are going to appear on it?
Yeah, I guess we're the only ones. Ain't that nice? You know, they give away a big prize each week to the winner. And since we're the contestants, one of us is sure to win it.
Well, I'm hoping I do with my poetry. I got a very special one to read this evening.
I'm hoping that Cliff wins the prize with his beautiful singing. After all, he wants to make a career of singing, and it would really mean something to him to win.
Yeah, that's right. It sure would.
Don't worry about me. I'm sure the prize will go to the group as a whole.
We find that the group down our way is not limited in its display of talent. One of its gifted members is a charming lady who writes poetry. Patience Peabody.
Hey, get on up there, Patience. Come on.
I guess you were meaning me in that introductory, Mr. Professor.
Are you a Patience Peabody?
No, but I'm the closest thing to it. I'm Patience Peabody.
I see you're also a bit of a comedian.
Oh, I'm lots of things. I'm also an asteriologist.
A what?
An asteriologist. You know, I tell people how the stars influence their lives. Now, for instance, if I knew when you was born and at what time of day and how old you are... And...
My good woman, if you knew all that, I'd be afraid of blackmail. Now, let's find out more about you. What do you sing with the group?
Well, I sing soprani, but not with the group.
Why, your name was included on the list.
Well, I'm what they call the silent member. You see, I was one of the very first ones way back when we organized. Then I was replaced by a certain soprani sitting here on this stage, but I'm too polite to mention any names.
Oh, perhaps they thought her voice blends better with the group.
Well, that's what they told me. Well, I just wish him every success. In fact, I wish it so much that it hurts me every time the new soprani hits a sour note.
Well, try to bear up until you've recited your poem anyway.
Oh, yes. It's called The Fearless Fireman, and it's dedicated to a certain someone who runs a feed store, sings bass with the group, and is now serving as volunteer fire chief down our way. I'll just leave it to your imagination to guess who it is.
Does she dare to say things like that?
Mrs. Peabody, I hate to rush you, but there's a little matter of time involved. Our sponsor pays several $1,000s a minute for this big network. So, before he tears out his remaining few hairs, won't you please recite your poem?
Oh, sure. It's 24 stanzas long. Maybe I'd better not read them all.
A statement like that indicates pure genius. Let's hear the first two.
Well, here I go, ready or not.
Don't tempt me.
To Ben, our faithful fire chief, to you we owe a lot for putting out all sparks and flames before they get too hot. But old Ben Potts, I want to ask, what can you do about the fires you start in women's hearts? How can you put them out?
Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Peabody. Now I think we would all enjoy some more singing. Could you oblige us, Mr. Jenkins?
Oh, you bet your boots, Professor. There's just one little thing I'd like to know first. Do you plan on awarding that $200 cash prize this week, as you usually do?
Why, of course.
Well, being that's the case, we want one member of our group to do a solo and be considered as a separate contestant.
Well, it must be someone with unusual talent.
You're darn tootin' it is. It's Cliff Tyler. Hey, Cliff, come on up here and do one of your pretty solos.
Oh, Mr. Jenkins.
Well, what's the selection to be? Well,
the first song my mother ever taught me to sing, and I sure hope she's listening now. When Irish Eyes Are Smiling. There's a tear in your eye, and I'm wondering why, for it never should be there at all. With such power in your smile, sure a stone you'd beguile, and there's never a teardrop should fall. When your sweet lilting laughter's like some fairy song, and your eyes twinkle bright as can be, you should laugh all the while, and all other times smile. And now smile, smile for me. When Irish eyes are smiling, sure it's like a morning spring. In the lilt of Irish laughter, you can hear the angels sing. When Irish hearts are happy, all the world seems bright and gay. But when Irish eyes are smiling, sure they steal your heart away.
Beautifully done, Cliff Tyler. Thank you. And now our announcer.
Folks, the sponsor of the Professor Talent Program would like to convey this one little thought to you.
Eli,
like you to try
why do you suppose Chris doesn't get here?
Now, don't start fretting about it, Ma. If he don't show up, we'll just do more group numbers.
Well, I hate for the professor to think he's not interested enough to even show up.
Oh, they so blame many of us for setting up here on exhibition already that I don't think anybody misses Chris. I sure didn't know that we'd had set up here on stage.
One thing, Yemeni, if you don't let me in here, I'm going to have to do something that I don't like to do.
Why, that's Chris.
You can't get in there. There's a broadcast going on, and you don't have a ticket.
I don't need no ticket.
But you can't.
Yeah, well, I sure didn't like to do that, and I hope you'll excuse it, Professor Talent, but I just had to so I could be on your show.
Well, I suppose such determination should be rewarded.
Well, I'm awful sorry, and I sure tried to make it up to you with my playing. I played the accordion. I got it right here. Hello there, everybody.
You did fix that bad note, didn't you, Chris?
Well, I tell you, I...
Well, you're the soloist Mr. Jenkins told me about, I presume.
Well, whatever Mr. Jenkins says goes by, Yemney. You see, I live in the room behind Mr. Jenkins' store, and he just the nicest fellow I ever seen.
Well, that's fine. Now, would you,
I'm just the town handyman, you know. Whatever need fixing, I fix it.
Did you fix your...
Please, we must get on with the broadcast. Will you, kindly play that squeeze box or whatever it is you do with it? Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. Chris...
Jorgensen.
Chris Jorgensen. I mean Jorgensen. Who will do something for you? I'm not quite sure what.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to play the Last Rose of Summer for you, but this accordion, I've been trying to get the note fixed. It's... That key is busted, but this black one right next to it is so close, it won't... just use that one when I come to the busted one. It's so close, it won't make any matter. I'll play the Last Rose of Summer for you now.
Thank you. I really think we've heard enough. Too much, in fact. Now is the time for our judges to reach a decision on the winner on tonight's broadcast. Just to refresh our memories, I'd like to review tonight's contestants. First was Mr. Jenkins' singing group. Would you say a word, please?
Yes, sirree. I'd just like to say that we get a heap of fun out of our singing.
And next was Patience Peaboy and her poetry.
Yes, and I've been...
Let me handle this, Patience. Hey, Professor, you got one of the finest poets since Longfellow in this little lady.
Really? I didn't notice.
Why, she's had a lot of her books published, and they was all full of poetry.
Published, you say?
Now, you know that.
Why, sure. Lots of them was published.
Has your singing group ever had any professional engagements?
Professional engagements? Well, that's all we do. We're the most professional lot of singers that there is down our way.
Eli, you shouldn't have said that.
I gotta impress him more.
And then there was the young singer, Cliff Tyler.
May I say...
Leave this to me now, Cliff. Professor, Cliff just wanted to tell you that if it weren't for having to give up his gas station business down at Three Forks Junction, he'd go back to singing in them big New York shows.
Oh, he's appeared on Broadway.
Oh, not right on the street. He's always been in a theater.
Oh, I see. Well, this puts a different light on things. What about Chris Jorgensen.
Chris. Oh, he just plays for himself. Nobody ever listens to him at all.
Well, thank you, Mr. Jenkins, for your information.
Oh, it is nothing. Glad to oblige. How was that, Ma?
Well, Eli, you shouldn't have said all them things that weren't true. Yeah,
but, Jenny, I was just making it all sound good.
Thanks for giving me a build-up. Gee, I've never been closer to a Broadway stage than the 58th row.
And you said my poems had been published, Eli. Well, I just wished it was true. And according to the stars...
That was the biggest lot of poppycock I ever heard.
Well, tarnation and thunderation. It was just little white lies. I thought it would make us all seem so much better if I told them that. You sure didn't give me much build-up.
Well, how could he, the way you plead?
We are now ready to announce the winner in tonight's contest. It is Mr. Chris Jorgensen.
Chris?
We hasten to explain that this is due to unusual circumstances. This program is dedicated to amateurs. So, when Mr. Jenkins said that all the others had had a professional experience, they were immediately disqualified. The only remaining contestant is Mr. Jorgensen. With the good wishes of our sponsor, we present you with this prize.
Thank you so much.
Would the singing group please oblige us with a number to close our program?
Oh, you bet we would, Professor. Come on, folks. Gather around the piano here. Now, play it in the key of E flat, Alice. Everybody now, all together. Professor, I wonder if I could say a word to all the ambitious young folks listening in.
Why, of course, Mr. Jenkins.
It's just this, kids. Something happened that just proved to me again that it don't never get you nowhere to stretch things. I thought I was doing some folks a favor tonight, and here I went and messed everything up. I guess a lot of folks think they have to stretch it when they're telling about what experience they've had. But believe you me, kids, if it's a job or a prize, it don't never pay to do nothing except tell the truth.
There's music in the air. Bright and laughing sky,
Only it's going to take a little time to settle back to things after this exciting evening spent down our way. Guess maybe the folks just weren't cut out for appearing on the radio. They'd rather get together and practice in Eli Jenkins' parlor. And if you'll drop in again next time they gather, they'll sing you some beautiful old-fashioned songs. Down Our Way is written by Shirley Thomas and produced by Walter White, Jr. This is a Commodore production.